produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
Welcome, everyone. This is Richard Floyd with Power Up Your Family. It is great to be back with you once again, and as always, we've had quite a crazy week that has passed since our last program. As we are all deep into this pandemic, we see what's happening in the world, in our localities, and we obviously have reason for concern. But we're hearing some good news, and that is that many states that have low rates of infection are opening up again. And people are going to be able to go back to work. And hopefully that part of the story is good news. Now, as I prepared for our program, I did a little research and did the analysis of the worldwide statistics of the coronavirus COVID-19 pandemic. And these numbers were as of 5:30 Sunday afternoon, May the 3rd. Now, I live in the state of Tennessee, and as of that time, we had 12,661 confirmed cases with 5,718 documented individuals who had recovered. So that's good news. Now, obviously, the loss of life, whether it's one person or hundreds or thousands, is never an enjoyable topic to discuss. And certainly every life is precious. In Tennessee, as of that date, we've had 209 deaths, a small number compared to many, many areas around the country. The United States as a whole, as of 5:30 Sunday afternoon, May the 3rd, had 1,181,936 confirmed cases, with an increase from the previous day of 29,109. Now, the good news is, apparently, of that total, 153,121 have shown to have recovered, and that's an increase of 2,288 recoveries from the previous day. Now, the sad news is, that in the United States, we have lost 68,089 individuals. That's a 1,343 increase from the previous day. 68,000 souls have been lost. Now, we could go into all kinds of statistics about other deaths, but I don't want to get into all that type of information today, because we are dealing with the COVID-19, and so we'll stay focused on that. But there are many other forms of death that the numbers far surpass what we're looking at here. But again, if we look at the global scene, as of Sunday, May 3rd at 5:30 in the afternoon, worldwide there were 3,494,671 confirmed cases, with an increase of 96,792. Now, most of us realize that globally and even in the United States, there are a lot of people who have been infected, who have never been tested, and who have done very well and have hardly even noticed that they weren't doing okay. Now, globally, we've had of that almost 3.5 million confirmed cases, 1 million, this is the number recovered, 1,114,898. That's up by 46,050 recoveries from the previous day. The sad news is that globally we've had 246,475 people that have been documented as having died from the virus. That's an increase of 4,928 from the previous day. Now, I share these statistics, which on the surface are just mind-boggling. I want to bring this down to a more personal perspective. As we enter the month of May each year, it's kind of a bittersweet time. You know, growing up in Louisville, Kentucky, the first Saturday in May has always been the Kentucky Derby, except for this year, 2020. The Derby has been postponed, I believe, to the first Saturday in September. And so having grown up in Louisville, that was always a big deal, that week before the Derby with the steamboat race, the big parade, the hot air balloons, the thunder over Louisville, a lot of celebration, a lot of excitement, a lot of interesting things, all in celebration of a 2-minute horse race. So that's a tradition that I've grown up with. Even though 35 years ago we left, actually 36 years ago, we left Louisville to come to Memphis, I've always enjoyed watching the Derby on TV, especially as they bring the horses out of the paddock to the track and get them into the gate. They have the playing of the music and the singing of the song, My Old Kentucky Home. And that brings back many memories and has a great nostalgic feel to it. And of course, this past Saturday, they did a TV broadcast of the 2015 race with the Triple Crown winner that occurred. And so it was fun to see that and to know that that horse was going to be the Triple Crown winner. But I mentioned the Derby in this context. On May the 1st, 1980, my wife and I were gathering our children to make a trip from North Carolina, little town of Salisbury, to come back to Louisville, Kentucky, to visit my mom and to go to the hospital, see my father, who we were given instructions was nearing death. And he had suffered from a staph infection from a surgery that he'd had in January of that year. And it progressively got worse. He had went through 30 some odd antibiotics and his condition continued to worsen. And we had only been able to make 2 or 3 trips back to Louisville to see him during that transition period. And so as we were preparing to leave, we had gotten into the car and we were about to leave our little home there in North Carolina, when I had a very strong impression, a prompting, if you will, from the Spirit, to go back upstairs and to get a suit and tie and a dress shirt for the possibility of a funeral. And as I was in the apartment, the phone rang. And it was my mother calling to tell me that my father had passed away a few minutes earlier. I've often thought about that experience, recognizing that if we had left, one, without the suit, and two, embarking upon a 8-hour drive back to Louisville with no cell phone at the time and no communication otherwise, my mother would have been dealing with knowing of the loss of her husband, my father, and not being able to communicate that to me, and I being the only child in the family, not having the opportunity to share that information for many, many hours. So I was appreciative of that prompting, be able to have that conversation with my mother and to offer her some some heartwarming and heart-rendering love and to have that moment together. Well, that was on a Thursday, May the 1st, 1980. A couple of days later was the Kentucky Derby, you know, May of 1980. Didn't pay much attention to the Derby that year for obvious reasons. And for a number of years after that, I wasn't overly excited about the Derby because it reminded me of the death of my father. Now, 5 years before the death of my father, there was a lot about that Derby weekend that stays with me today that was a celebratory and wonderful experience. In May of 1975, my wife was volunteered to work at a charitable booth at the Kentucky Derby. And was able to spend that Saturday out there doing that work. As it turned out, the week before, we had been invited to attend church with a couple that we had known from years earlier through our involvement in some Masonic youth groups. My wife was in the Rainbow Girls, and I had been in the DMLA organization for young men. And this couple had been adult advisors that had helped, were instrumental, if you will, and seeing that the two of us, my wife and I, became friends and ultimately dated and ultimately got married. So on the first Sunday in May, after a long Saturday, we had agreed the week before to go to church with this couple, the Wheelers. And it was a unique experience. The church that we went to was meeting in a schoolhouse. Their church building was under construction, and the worship service was held in the school gymnasium. And it was a Sunday, and the air conditioning was apparently turned off for the weekend, and it was a typical hot, humid day in Louisville. The doors were open, the windows were open, there were these large floor fans blowing, making a lot of noise. There were flies flying around, a few wasps or bees I could remember as I think back on it. And being in a room that had a wooden floor, I remember children as they would walk around making a lot of noise. So you would say that this was not an environment for a very spiritual experience. But this was a first Sunday of the month, and for this church congregation, it was what we call a fast and testimony meeting. This was a meeting of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, our first time to attend a service of that church. Interestingly enough, there was a beautiful spirit that we felt as individuals would bore their testimony and their love for the Savior. We felt something that day that we had never experienced in any religious service up to that point. And long story short, before that month was over, my wife and I became members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. And we'll tell more about that story in a subsequent Power Up Your Family episode coming up here this month. But for now, I want to just talk a little bit more about this thing that I referenced earlier with the death of my father. So as I mentioned, these gargantuan numbers of hundreds of thousands of deaths worldwide, I look at this from an individual standpoint, and I remember as I think back on the death of my father, I remember the emptiness and the grief that I felt because this was the first close relative to pass away. Now, I'd had a great-grandmother and a grandmother and a grandfather pass away, but they had passed away some years earlier. But my father was the closest relative, the first of the closest relatives, if you will, to pass away. And It was a difficult time. It was challenging. But after having been a member of the Church of Jesus Christ for 5 years at that point, I had an understanding of Heavenly Father's plan of salvation, his plan of happiness. And so I had a firm understanding that death is not the end of our existence. You know, many believe that death is the end or our final destination. But for anyone who's a Christian, and especially for those who are Latter-day Saints, we recognize that death is merely the doorway that leads into the next life. Our current president of the church, the prophet, Russell M. Nelson, shared a number of years ago this statement. He said, "Life does not begin with birth, nor does it end with death. Prior to our birth, we dwelled as spirit children with our Father in heaven. There, we eagerly anticipated the possibility of coming to earth and obtaining a physical body. Knowing we wanted the risks of mortality, which would allow the exercise of agency and accountability. This life was to become a probationary state, a time to prepare to meet God." That was a quote from Alma 12:24, a scripture found in the Book of Mormon. President Nelson goes on to say, "But we regarded the returning home as the best part of that long-awaited trip, just as we do now. Before embarking on any journey, we like to have some assurance of a round-trip ticket. Returning from earth to life in our heavenly home requires passage through and not around the doors of death." In Corinthians, it says, "We were born to die and we die to live. As seedlings of God, we barely blossom on earth. However, we fully flower in heaven." So what happens when we die? Well, when death occurs, our body and our spirit are separated. Death is the separation of the physical body from the spiritual body. We have already lived as spirits without bodies. That occurred in the premortal life. Although we progressed and developed in that world, eventually we could advance no more without receiving a physical body. We came to earth to receive a physical body. Our mortality here also has a purpose. The spirit world is our abode after death. We will reside in that world of spirits at least for a time. We have work and obligations in that post-mortal life as well. Eventually, the body and spirit will be reunited, never to be separated again. This is called the resurrection. Jesus Christ made the resurrection possible through his atonement and his resurrection. So how do we deal with death while we are here on earth? Although many will look upon death with hope, dealing with the loss of a loved one can still be very difficult. We do know, however, that death is only a temporary separation, but it is still a separation. This mortal life is only a blip in our eternal existence. However, it feels like forever when our loved ones are taken from us. Their absence seems to be an incredible gulf in our lives and causes much sorrow here on earth. This is especially true when children die. I was reading recently some Facebook reminders of a couple of families we knew that in recent years had little ones that passed away within just a few days of each other. As true innocents, children who die under the age of 8 have a special status in the next life. Teachings from leaders of my faith also provide tremendous comfort when a little one leaves mortality. With their incomplete understanding and tender feelings, care should be taken to help children understand death's purpose. Having faith in Jesus Christ can help us have hope that we will live once again with our loved ones in the next life. Exercising our faith can help build more faith. The more faith we have, the more content we will be in the realities of eternal life. So how should we prepare for our own death? Preparing for and understanding death often makes it easier to accept. There are many things we can do to prepare for our own death. Besides the temporal things like living wills, trusts, and other advanced directives, we should spiritually prepare for death. This life should be considered an assignment. Our Heavenly Father knows when it is our time to die and our assignment has been completed. Spiritual preparation for death involves all of the following: striving to keep all of the commandments of God, striving to keep all our covenants and ordinances, striving to have constant repentance, and striving to endure to the end. We must shoulder on and endure to the end. We must accept death whenever it occurs. However, suicide nor assisted suicide should ever be attempted. Death is a part of life. By understanding God's plan of salvation and having faith in Jesus Christ, we can find greater hope and peace on earth. You know, in Ecclesiastes, we read, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born and a time to die, a time to weep and a time to laugh, a time to mourn and a time to dance." To me, this scripture seems most poignant when a loved one dies. Death is part of life. For all of us, we should remember that it is a new beginning, not an end. In Corinthians, the Apostle Paul wrote, "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" For those of us who are left behind, the death of a loved one can seem so heartbreakingly final. One of our presidents of our church, President Thomas S. Monson, said, "We laugh, we cry, we work, we play, we love, we live, and then we die. Death is our universal heritage. All must pass its portals. Death claims the aged, the weary, and worn. It visits the youth in the bloom of hope and the glory of expectation. Nor are little children kept beyond its grasp." In the words of the Apostle Paul, "It is appointed unto men once to die." That's found in Hebrews 9:27. "And dead we would remain, but for one man and his mission, even Jesus of Nazareth. Born in a stable, cradled in a manger, his birth fulfilled the inspired pronouncements of many prophets. He was taught from on high. He provided the life, the light, and the way. Multitudes followed him. Children adored him. The haughty rejected him. He spoke in parables. He taught by example. He lived a perfect life." To all those who have lost loved ones, we would answer, "If a man die, he shall live again. We know, for we have the light of revealed truth. Master said, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die." Found in John 11:25-26. Through tears and trials, through fears and sorrows, through the heartache and loneliness of losing loved ones, there is assurance that life is everlasting. Our Lord and Savior is the living witness that such is so. The Savior, through his infinite atonement, has taken the sting out of death. We will all die, but we will all live again through the loving sacrifice of our Savior and Redeemer, Jesus Christ. Death is not the end. Another one of our church presidents, prophet of the world, President Gordon B. Hinckley, said, "Death is not final, though it seems so when its dark shroud overshadows mortal life. To those who accept the Christ and his eternal mission, there is light and comfort. There is assurance. There is certainty. Of all the victories in human history, none is so great, none so universal in its effect, none so everlasting in its consequences as the victory of the crucified Lord who came forth in the resurrection that first Easter morning. Another quote from another church leader: grief is the natural byproduct of love. One cannot selflessly love another person and not grieve at his suffering or eventual death. The only way to avoid the grief would be to not experience the love. And it is love that gives life its richness and meaning. So, as we ponder this life that we live, this mortal experience, it is quite evident to me, as I've had witnessed to me by the Spirit, as I've learned from studying the Scriptures, as I've been inspired by faith leaders, the life that we live here is just a progression in our eternal destiny. We are spiritual beings created by a Heavenly Father, and we are eternal in nature. Life continues beyond the grave. Knowing that life does not end at death, we need not fear it. Understanding the purpose of life allows us to more fully appreciate the gift that it is. May we live our lives to be able to say, as the Apostle Paul said in 2 Timothy 4:6-7, "The time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." As each of us ponder on those words and think about loved ones that we have lost and are mindful of what's happening around us, as many are losing loved ones now, may we have the compassion and the empathy and the understanding to be able to share with those who are grieving God's eternal plan so that they may have hope for a brighter day. You know, another leader of our faith, President Dieter F. Uchtdorf, said, "In light of what we know about eternal destiny, is it any wonder that whenever we face the bitter endings of life, they seem unacceptable to us? There seems to be something inside of us that resists endings. Why is this? Because we are made of the stuff of eternity. We are eternal beings, children of the Almighty God, whose name is endless and whose promises eternal blessings without number. Endings are not our destiny. The more we learn about the gospel of Jesus Christ, the more we realize that endings here in mortality are not endings at all. They are merely interruptions, temporary pauses that one day will seem small compared to the eternal joy awaiting the faithful. How grateful I am to my Heavenly Father that in His plan there are no true endings, only everlasting beginnings, to which I bear testimony in the name of my Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen."
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.